This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
My name is Reis. I was born in Bangladesh. I came to the United States to fulfill my dream to pursue higher education and to experience the American dream. But within a short time, my life was completely changed due to one single incident. The lesson I learned from that incident transformed my life and motivated me to come in front of this camera today. It was Friday, 12:30 p.m., September 21st, 2001. A man with a gun entered the gas station where I was working. He asked me where you are from. The question seemed strange to ask during a robbery, which certainly this was. The man wore a bandana, sunglasses, and a baseball cap, and aimed the gun directly at my face as I stood over the cash register. I said, "Excuse me." As soon as I spoke, I felt the sensation of a million bees stinging my face, and then I heard an explosion. Images of my mother, my father, my siblings, and my fiancé appeared in front of my eyes, and then a graveyard. I did not know if I were still alive. I looked down at the floor and saw blood pouring like an open faucet from the right side of my brain. Frantically, I placed both hands on my face, thinking I had to keep my brains from spilling out. I heard myself screaming, "Mom." The gunman was still standing there. I thought, if I don't pretend I'm dead, he will shoot me again. This was not a robbery. This was a hate crime happened because of September 11, 2001, World Trade Center tragedy. The man with the gun was Mark Stroman, a white supremacist, and he was in the middle of shooting rampage to express his anger towards those of Middle Eastern descent. He shot and killed Waqar Hassan, a Pakistani man, on September 15. He shot me on September 21st, and he shot and killed Vasudev Patel on October 4, 2001. The victims, including myself, were shot while working at gas stations and convenience stores in Dallas.
Grace Bouillon went on to forgive Mark Stroman for trying to kill him and to campaign vigorously and internationally for Stroman's sentence to be commuted from death to life without parole. Race created a website called World Without Hate, launched a petition, and worked with anti-death penalty activists to stop the execution. Mark Stroman was nonetheless executed by the state of Texas on July 20th, 2011.
And we're joined on the phone by Race Bouillon. Welcome to People First Radio, Race.
Well, thank you very much for having me in your program.
Race, you were severely injured by Mark Stroman's attack. There were 38 pellets in your face. You couldn't open your eyes or talk or open your jaw in the days following that attack. You were unable to eat or drink anything. Your face was heavily swollen, yet you were discharged after only one day in hospital due to lack of medical insurance. How did you get through those first few months? What happened?
Well, I always believed that, you know, God had special reasons behind to save my life. I was always full of faith and full of hope that somebody's watching me and he's God. And I always depended on him. I always kept my faith and hope up. I went through terrible, a lot of physical, mental, and financial disaster, but I never gave up. And I think my strong faith and my hope helped me to survive all those days when I went through a lot of disaster, one after another one.
What were the effects of the experience on you? You told the CBC's Ioana Ramiliotos that you lived in a state of constant dread. How did that affect your life?
Well, it definitely affected my life in a profound way, but I never gave up. I stayed back into this country in the USA to give it a fight, because my parents were also asking me to go back. But I thought, if I go back, I might just excuse myself to find some easy access to go back instead of staying and facing the harsh reality. But I said, no, I'm going to stay back. And God had a special reasons behind to give me my life back. So I will face it. And maybe one day I'll be able to overcome and I'll be able to tell myself that I never gave up. And by the mercy of God, I have overcome and now I'm in a different shape of life.
You say that you did receive counseling in the year 2005, but I'm quoting your own writing here. My strong faith in God has provided me with the best counseling. I can ask guidance from the Quran, universal counseling. Tell us a bit about the aftermath of a devastating incident like that on your own emotional, mental, and your physical state of being.
Well, as a child, my parents taught me that forgiveness is the best policy, and if somebody ever hurts you, don't do the same thing to them. Rather, forgive them, and thus you will give them a little time to think about what they did to you, and definitely today or tomorrow they will come back to you, and they will ask for forgiveness. So that was one very strong principle I was taught by my parents, and also it was a part of my Islamic faith that forgiveness is the best policy, and also Islam doesn't allow for any hate and killing. In fact, in Islam, it teaches that saving a human life is like saving the entire mankind. So once I was shot, I was going through all kinds of disaster a person can imagine. I never thought about why it happened to me. Rather, I was always thankful to God that I got my life back, whereas he took two others. He could have taken mine as well. So why should I be asking and, you know, feeling sorry for me? Rather, move on. I was always thoughtful that let's find out the good causes why God gave me my life back. I was always stayed focused, positive, and always look for the positive consequence out of that negative experience. So I never asked God, why me? Why I went through this painful path? Rather, I knew from day one that was God's decision. He wanted me to go through this path of pain and suffering. And definitely, I'll be learning something through this process, which will help me in the future to achieve some bigger goal. So that's what helped me to survive that time and move on with my own life, rather asking God or feeling sorry for me.
You write that one Friday evening at the mosque where you prayed, you met someone from your high school back in Bangladesh, and through those contacts, you met a man who headed a computer school, and you then received high-tech training. Tell us about the career that you began to build for yourself at that time.
Well, I always, you know, feel very good about that, because that was the time I received help from many different people. And this gentleman from my Islamic community, he came to know my situation, so he offered me a free high-tech computer training course without charging me anything. And I thought that's what I needed that time. I need more education or more this kind of training program, which I'll be able to build a career for the future. But that moment, that was the right thing to do, go for education and use the best of my time. So I grabbed that opportunity right away, and I went to the school. At the same time, I was working side by side in a restaurant just to survive, and taking these high-tech computer classes. And the teacher was very friendly. As soon as he came to know my story, he became very friendly with me, and he taught me the best he could. And based on that training, now I have this IT career, and I always feel extremely good about those folks. They help me, they provide me the free training. Otherwise, it would be impossible to come to this stage with a great IT career.
This is People First Radio on CHOY, across the islands and streaming online at CHOY.ca.
Mark Stroman died by lethal injection in Texas on July 20, 2011. He was a member of the Aryan Brotherhood white supremacy group and had a long criminal record with at least two previous prison terms. In a one-person rampage through Dallas, Texas, 3 weeks after 9/11, Mark Stroman killed two people as well as wounding Reis Buyan and blinding him in one eye. He said he was targeting Arabs in retaliation for the 9/11 attacks, but none of his victims were Arabic. Race Bouyan went on to not only forgive Mark Stroman for his hate crimes, but also to campaign vigorously to prevent his execution. Race worked with anti-death penalty activists in the United States and Europe, created a petition, and used legal efforts to try and save Mark's life. The story of forgiveness, compassion, and tolerance has inspired people around the world. We're speaking with Race Bouyan.
Race, you made attempts to meet with Mark Stroman, but state authorities wouldn't permit it. You did speak with him by telephone via a conference call initiated by one of Mark Stroman's friends, but it was only for a few seconds. Why was it important for you to meet in person with Mark?
Well, I was under this impression, and I was told after this case was over that I cannot talk to him. And I will not have any kind of contact with him, period. But once I came to know, end of May this year, that as a victim, it is my right, I can have a mediation dialogue with my offender, and I jumped right away that, yes, I need to talk to him, as because I wanted to communicate with him in a human way. I wanted to see his eyes, sit next to him and talk to him about many things, which I knew something. I didn't know a lot of questions I had in my mind. It was important because it was important for me to understand his side, talk to him as if we both are human beings, not as a victim or as an offender, to understand his side of the story, why he did, how he did, how he has changed, and how he went through this 9.5 years being behind bar. And that could have also helped me to find many answers of my questions and would have helped me to move forward that he's also another human being, but because of his teaching, because of his life, is that he committed this crime and now he's being behind bar. That could have helped me to close a chapter in my life and move forward. And once I talk to people, once I go and, you know, educate people, I could have used that, those kind of conversation, how a person could change his life, how he has changed his heart. That's why it was very important for me to talk to Mark, and I requested many times to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, but they never allowed me to talk to him in person. And it was, I feel extremely betrayed once I came to know in the federal court that this victim's right was nothing but a symbolic thing. I feel extremely terrible that how a right could be symbolic thing. So I never got any chance to talk to him directly, face-to-face or in person. But the day he was executed, July 20th, I called one of Mark's friends without knowing that I could talk to Mark that time. And that friend told me that Mark is talking to me right now. If you are interested, I can put you through a conference call right now. Will you be interested? I said, absolutely. So that gentleman put me through a cell phone conference. It was very noisy, not really clear. So finally, I talked to Mark for just for a few seconds.
You told CBC News, we can live in a better world if we just forgive each other. Tell us more about forgiveness, where it comes from, what it can do for people.
Well, since September 11, 2001, this world has become a very unsafe place, and I see hate is going on everywhere. A lot of hate crimes, killing are taking place. Many part of this world, all this has to stop. And as a survivor of a hate crime because of September 11, 2001, I decided to step forward to work with the people all over the world and educate people in the cycle of hate and violence so that we can live in a better world through the path of forgiveness, compassion, and tolerance. Because unless we forgive each other, life becomes very, very hard to carry on. And in our daily life, we'll feel this is very heavy. We feel there's a lot of weight on our shoulder to move on. But as soon as we forgive, I'm sure that the way I feel, a lot of people will feel the same way, that life becomes very light. You feel that you already dropped some of the load from your shoulder. It'll be very easy to move on. And once we forgive, then we engage ourselves in a dialogue, kind of like a mediation conversation. We'll understand each other, thus we can live in a better world. But if we keep anger, if we keep hate in our heart, every day we'll feel pressure in our mind, in our heart, and we'll try to take revenge. And the folks, the person whom we're trying to take revenge, they will do the same thing again on us. So the cycle of hate and violence will be increasing. But if you forgive, it ends there, and it makes our life easy to move forward. And that's what all the messengers of God, starting from, you know, Adam until Abraham, Moses, peace be upon him, Jesus, peace be upon him, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all the messengers of God, that's what they taught us. How come we are not practicing what you learn from our parents, from our prophets? So that's why I thought it's very important to forgive, to choose the path of tolerance and compassion. Thus, we'll be able to live in a better and peaceful world.
Race Bouyan, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I like to tell people all over the world that let's not hate each other. If I don't know my neighbor, if I don't know my coworker, my people in the community, let's take some effort. Let's get to know each other. Let's just not hate just for the sake of hating. There is a difference among us, and this difference will be there the rest of our life. But let's not hate and kill because of our difference. Let's get to know each other. Let's not hate. Hate is not a solution.
Race, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
It's my pleasure to be in your show. Thank you very much for spreading this word to your audience.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Race Bouyan is an IT specialist living in Dallas, Texas. He is the driving force behind an initiative called World Without Hate, a campaign against hate crimes and a vehicle for the promotion of forgiveness, tolerance, and compassion. You can find World Without Hate online at worldwithouthate.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.